Amen. Last sermon in this series, How's That Working For You? And I want to preach a message entitled Late Bloomers. I think I may hit quite a few people in the room with this. Because here's the thing. We are obsessed, in a word, obsessed with perfect ACT scores, perfect SAT scores, perfect credit from the beginning. In a word of Mark Zuckerberg's, where people get rich at 19 and 20, we are obsessed with getting it right as young as we can. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. So you can't justify Isaiah a D or a C because, Daddy, you said we're late bloomers. Because I want you to close your eyes, Isaiah, because I don't want you to see what's about to happen. How many of you would be honest and say you are not a straight-A student, but you're doing all right now? Close your eyes. How many of you said you did not start out with perfect credit, but God still used you anyway? How many say you took the long road to success? That was probably a straightaway, but you took some back roads and some back cuts and some dead ends. Yeah. And got the scenic route. Yeah. But you finally found your way. This message is for everybody in the room who has ever woke up in a ton of debt and said, I am not meant to live like this. Anybody who's ever made a bunch of bad decisions relationally and like, this is not going to cut it. Anybody who's ever gone through several careers and phases of your life trying to find yourself, and now you finally know your purpose, you know what God wants to do in your life, but you're ready to move forward, but here's the challenge. You wish you would have done this 10, 20 years ago, because now, several kids later, debt later, several regrets later, you find yourself just now waking up like, why couldn't I get this at 21? Yeah, I've been there before. Come talk back to me. Why now? That's good news. You are surrounded by late bloomers. Look at your neighbor and say, you're sitting next to a late bloomer. I am 43 years old, and I'm just now blooming. I think God's been trying to bloom me for years. Yeah, I wish my confidence would have kicked in earlier. I wish my focus. And there's some stuff that didn't matter that you realize don't matter now, that I didn't realize it 2 years ago. I think there's nothing wrong with driving a nice car and nice having dressing nice and all those things, but I was so consumed with those things, and now what I'm really concerned with is what are we going to eat? Is it going to be good? Who's cooking? Anybody come to a phase in your life where people's opinion of you mattered way too much years ago? You spent your life giving advice to people who weren't going to listen, no way. They came to you to co-sign what they already wanted to do, and you just sit there like, praying and fasting and all this stuff like that. But you come to a place in life where you say, God, I get it. Anybody woke up and say, I get it? You are in good company. The world is full of late bloomers. Do you not know that McDonald's was started by a guy by the name of Ray Kroc? And at 52 years old, when most people are thinking towards retirement, this man started McDonald's. A man named Harlan David Sanders. We call him Colonel Sanders. 65 was broke. Social Security, I guess, was not going to kick in. And I don't know about his 401k and his pension. But a broke man with a recipe that nobody would take started KFC at 65. Viola Davis, the first black actor to earn a triple crown of acting. She's got an Oscar. She's got an Emmy and a Tony. She spent her life doing stage plays but did not get her first major role on the screen until her 40s. Samuel L. Jackson, one of Chattanooga's finest, did not get a major role in a movie until 1991, and that was in Jungle Fever as Gator. And he smoked the TV. 1994, his first major role at the age of 46. Somebody say 46. I don't want nobody to tell your age, but if you are 40 and above, you in good company. All right. You all right in here?
Yeah.
Got his first major. I'm just talking about late bloomers. Not only are there late bloomers that you see in society, there are late bloomers in the Bible, and I want to talk about one today. Her name was Sarah. Sarah lived to be 127. 127. She was promised a child at 65. Anybody not ashamed of your age? I'm trying to imagine my mama calling me and say, Jason, I'm pregnant. Papa said, it still worked. I guess if the blood still worked, Papa does too. Promised the child at 65, but she didn't get pregnant to 89. Let me tell you something hilarious. We were sitting at Miss Mary Bobo's yesterday. We'll go around the table. They're asking everybody how long they've been married. My parents said 44 years. And we said 16. And this 90-year-old man, I was waiting for him. He'd been married, I know, 50-something years. They said, how long have you been married? 9 years. What you doing at 81? 89, she got pregnant. 90, she had a child. Here's how the process of late blooming goes. But here's the thing. Time is nothing when you've been waiting a lifetime on a promise from God. And I want to tell you that some of you have been waiting for a while for things to kick in. And God's going to do some phenomenal things in your life. Anybody believe that in here? Genesis 8, it's all right to clap right there. Genesis 18 and 10 says this. God is speaking, and he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. He's speaking to Abraham. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Verse 11 says, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing years. Verse 12, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, look what her question was. Shall I have pleasure? Storks don't drop babies off. My Lord being old also. You all right? Verse 13, and the Lord said to Abram, why does Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child who, when I am so old? And verse 14, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year, Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, you did laugh. Speak this, over your life. Say, by this time next year, my life is going to look completely different. Now, if you believe that, you need some things changed. Say, by this time next year, my life will look different. This may not be for everybody, but by this time next year, I'm believing God for debt freedom. By this time next year, I'm believing God for a new building for this church. By this time next year, my body will be healed. By this time next year, if you're single, say, I will have a boo bae somebody. It's going to be all right. You all right? I'm going to give you how late bloomers bloom. Late bloomers bloom. I have learned many of this through my own life and through watching people who bloom late. I'll tell you one of the most pivotal moments of my life when I was, they say men don't express love or affection or whatever to each other. When I was in my early 20s, my daddy wrote me a letter and he mailed it. That was back before they really sent emails and stuff like that. He mailed me a letter and I kept it for years. I think I lost it in one of our moves. And he said, Jason, it is time that you find yourself. He said, it's time that you settle down. He said, it's about time you start thinking about getting married. He said, and it's time that you start living for God and for having your own confidence. He said, it wasn't until I was about 29 that I made a decision that people's opinion didn't really matter, and I'm going to focus. That was one of the most affirming moments of my life, that he shared his story with me. Can I encourage you? I think you ought to share your story with your kids. You don't have to go in graphic detail of all the things, but just give them the PG version. Tell him he brought me through. Tell him, been there, done that. Don't want to talk about it, but thank God I ain't there no more. And God will walk you through it. But I was able, and that him blooming late spoke volumes to me. But here's what happens. Late bloomers ask two questions, and then they make two decisions. What's the first question the late bloomers ask? They ask this question right here. They say, what's not working? Genesis 18:11 said, Abraham and Sarah were old, and Sarah laughed to herself, saying, shall I have pleasure? It was very obvious to her because she was old what did not work. But here's the challenging part to many of us. We keep trying stuff that don't work. And the people are saying, this doesn't work, but you are just bent on doing it. At a certain point, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, this is not working. You got to evaluate what isn't working. Because the plan of God does not work when you take it out of God's hands and put it in your hands. Sarah took the plan of God out of his hands, put it in her hands, her mind, and her heart, and it produced laughing, which is a result of self-doubt. Self-doubt has wasted more time for most of us in the room than what we can ever imagine. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but I've spent years doubting myself, and there are people who have less intellect than you, less money than you, less whatever than you. They just don't care what nobody thinks. They're going to try it. If they fail, they're going to try something else. But here you are overthinking things and ain't done nothing. It's the amazing part. I didn't finally finish this sermon until early this morning because late last night it hit me because I second-guessed myself earlier this week on what I was going to preach, and I was going to try to preach something else, and it was not working. And the Lord finally said, why don't you go back to what I originally gave you? Yes. Second-guessing yourself will cause you to be you scrambling. You're trying to get stuff done. And you're saying, God, I should have did that in the first place. Yes. That's what I should have originally done. And when you have self-doubt, it leads to self-producing. If you study the story of Abraham and Sarah, it didn't happen. And in that 25-year span, when he told her she was going to get pregnant to the time she did, they said, okay, God, it's not working. We're going to do something on it. They did something that no 2019 lady would do. Sarah said, you can take my friend Hagar and produce with her. That ain't happening in 2019. So they had Ishmael. And how many of us, while we're waiting on God, have produced Ishmaels? Which are good ideas versus what God promised, the God idea. And before you get nervous trying to question your whole life, do I have an Ishmael or do I have an Isaac? Isaac was the child of promise. It's not that difficult. Ishmael is anything you do in rebellion to what God says. God understands things. He understands that you question stuff, that you're trying, and that, okay, some things don't work out. But an Ishmael is something that you directly say, God, I am going to ignore what you said. I'm not even going to try what you said. I'm going to take it on my own. You all right in here? God wants you to produce Isaac. So self-producing causes you to waste time. So the first question that Sarah knew was what's not working. She didn't think her body was working. I want you to be honest with yourself. What are you doing that is not working? You got the right goal, but the mechanism you're trying to do it is not working. You're the most gifted person on your job, but your attitude is not working. You have talked yourself out of more promotions than your intellect, than your job, than your work ethic would ever walk you into. Question number two is this. What does work? Once you figure out what doesn't work, you got to figure out what does work. I'll tell you what does work. I'll make it easy. The promise of God works. If you're taking notes, put this in your heart before you do anything. Get God to make you a promise. What? Get God to make you a promise. He did it to Sarah. Genesis 18 and 10, he said this, I will surely. That surely says, you got my word on it. That surely says, no, you promise. He said, I'm not putting this on your body. I'm not putting this on your old age. Surely says, I'm going to do this for you. You know what God's saying to many of you in this room? This one's on me. I know you got a past. I know you done made decisions. I know stuff that, y'all talk back to me this morning. I know some stuff has happened in your life, but surely, I'm going to do this one. He said, surely, I will return to you at this time next year. You know that? What you spoke over your life? Surely, by this time next year, that's going to happen for you. Here's why the promise works. Take a note, screenshot this. There's enough faith and power in the promise of God, the word of God, to work if you let it work. Let me show you how that works. Isaiah 55 and 11, it's on the screen, says this. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper. Who shall prosper? It shall prosper. It shall accomplish. It shall prosper. It shall accomplish. It shall prosper. It shall accomplish. Not you, it. I got a promise from God. Anybody be honest in here and say, you done made enough mistakes to ruin your own destiny, but God's word is still working in your life. It shall accomplish. It shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. Amazing thing happened. We were in the back a couple weeks ago, and there was a young man in there. I think he was paying his tithes and offering. And he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Man, I've been kind of stressed out." He said, "Me and my family are trying to sell a house, and it is just not working." I asked permission to share the story. He said, "It's just not working." He said, "We're trying everything." I said, "Hey, I got this scripture. I don't know how it works, but just pray this scripture this week." Yeah. I gave him Psalms 37, 3 through 6. I said, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land." That means God wants you to purchase property, sell property. He wants you to be established, have a job. "Dwell in the land and you shall be fed." I said, "Delight yourself in the Lord," is what it says, "and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him, trust him, and he'll bring it to pass." I said, "Pray that." Pray it the entire week. I didn't think anything about it. And he'll tell you that that next Sunday went by, and I thought about it. I said, "I wonder how that went." And I texted him, and I said, "How's your house selling going?" He said, "Man, I forgot to tell you, we got two contracts that same week." Yeah. Cleaning the house out last night because it's, I don't know if it's sold, but it's selling. And they're moving out this way. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. He didn't do it. The Word did it. And when God gets you a promise, you say, "God, you promised. Your word says. I didn't make this up. You said I'm the head and not the tail. So I need you to bring my confidence up." And God's word has enough power and faith built into it to accomplish what he wants it to do. Somebody say, "It shall accomplish it, and it shall prosper." Said, "It shall accomplish it, and it shall prosper." One more time. "It shall accomplish it, and it will prosper in the name of Jesus." Two questions. What is not working? What is working? Once they figure those things out, there's two decisions you got to make. Number one, you got to learn how to work what works. Because a lot of us are working stuff that does not work. Genesis 18 and 17. Watch what he said about Abraham. He said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since he will surely become a great and mighty nation? Let me just get to this. God wants to reveal to you how he's going to do things in your life. God does not want to hide a thing from you. How's this going to work out? God said, "I want to make it known to you what I want to do." But there are two things to God revealing to you that you got to know. Number one, you got to unlearn some stuff. I heard this statement in a conference, and I researched it, and this guy named Alvin Toffler said this. He said, "The illiterate of the future will not be those who cannot read and write. The illiterate of the future will be those who cannot unlearn, learn, and relearn." Those who will be illiterate in the future will not be those who just can't read and write books, read books and write. But it'd be people who refuse to unlearn stuff that ain't working no more. Yeah. Refuse to let go of the VCR when you can stream a movie through your phone right here. Refuse to let stuff go and unlearn how church used to be, how life used to be, and embrace what's going on right now. That will become the illiterate of the future. Look to them and say, "Times are changing." And you must too. You cannot live in a digital world with an 8-track mentality. Man, them 8-tracks used to be, they're like Atari cartridges. Good back in the day, you slide that thing in there. You don't have this halfway sticking out when it's riding in your car. Some of y'all remember from the 70s. Some of y'all been cool since the 70s. Had white walls on your tires. A little man like this on the front of your car. You know what I'm talking about? Just right and lean back. 8-track in there. They don't make them no more. As good as those days are, they are gone. Some of y'all looking at me strange, but y'all remember cross colors. Jeans and overalls with one side down. You ain't wearing that stuff no more. You all right in here? You got to unlearn some things so that you can learn. Church has to be the same way. I had to, and I am unlearning some things. There's nothing wrong with how things were, but this is a new day. In church, most of us used to be so excited because they tell us who and what. Who? God. He'll bring you out. What's he going to do? Place your feet on solid ground. That's good. Oh, he'll do it. These days, people want to know how. I'm dizzy. Got me spinning up in here. How? When? Why? Why ain't do it for them? Ain't do it for me. unlearn that it's more, because many of us are saying, God, I want more than the emotion of the moment. I want to learn something. Can you repeat this after me? Church is for learning. Say it again. Church is for learning. Say, church is for learning. It's not just the feel good. Church is for you to learn. God, I want you to know his word, know how he does. He said, I don't want to hide anything from you. Can I tell you something about learning? You got to be open to learn. Because there's a difference between when you learn something and when you were taught something. There's a difference between you learn something and when you taught something. Hey, y'all got kids in here, and it took them years to learn what you've been telling them, and then they come to you like they done discovered Mars. You wouldn't believe that what it takes. It. I've been telling you this since you were 12. Yeah. And we want to blame the place. See, they didn't teach me that. No, you weren't paying attention. When you learn and when something is taught, it's two different things. Yeah. Learning is paying attention. God don't care when you get it. He just says get it. So you got to unlearn and you got to learn. And here's the thing about late bloomers. Most of us learn the hard way. Can I testify for a few moments? Is there anybody in here that has learned? Y'all want to testify me the hard way? People tried to tell you don't do this, and you just bound and determined you're going to prove. And you know, I should have listened, but I'm going to prove to them. Some stuff, you got to take your pride back and say, all right, show me what works, and I'm going to learn how to work what works. Last point is this, decision two. After you learn what works, you got to work what works. This is making a demand on the promise that God gave you. Verse 14 says, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Is there anything too difficult for God? I don't care if you're sick. Is there anything difficult for the Lord? I don't care if your finances are messed up. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? You go back and repeat back to God. You know when Isaiah really gets me? If I've told him something, but he said, Daddy, you said we were going to Opry Mills. Man, I did say that, didn't I? You said I could do this. You put them in remembrance of their word. And anybody who has any kind of confidence, pride, ego about them says, I'm a man or a woman of my word. God is not jealous. He ain't got no big ego, but he is a man of his word. And when you remind, you said, I can do all things through Christ. You said you were my healer. You said you were my deliverer. And make a demand on the promise, and it works in your, I don't know how, but it works. I'm going to give you an example of how it all makes sense, and I'll be through with this. What's not working? In about 2014, church was growing. We were living in Nashville, driving here every day. Isaiah was going to school here. We were late some days, rushing in from the traffic coming down 24. I was feeling the sense on the job that I was on that it was time to transition, and the Lord began to speak to my heart. He said, Jason, it's time. I would walk in the mornings or at night. He would say, Jason, it's time to make the transition. I didn't think our credit was in a good enough shape. I didn't think we had enough equity in the house to sell it. I was telling God all the things that were not working. And God was, anybody ever tell God what's not working? And he's telling you to go ahead. I can't do it, God, because we got, this is God. I don't remember that play, your arms are too short to box with God. I learned that. I can't box with him. He was saying, you do this. We don't have the money to do this, God. I've done this and done that. He said, it's time. You know how something gets so heavy on you, you just go do it erratically. It was the beginning of the year, and it was so on me. I don't ever do this. I went in my boss's office, and I said, by the end of the year, I'm going to transition to another job. She could have told me to leave right then. I'm serious. She said, okay. I said, well, you must be working on something. I knew what wasn't working, but I knew what did work, the promise of God. God began to put this heavy on our heart, and he said, Jason, it's time to do it. And he made me a promise. He said, you take care of my business. I'll take care of yours. Whoo! That went, anybody, God ever speak to you and go through you like a just lightning? I said, where's that in the word? He said, no soldier in active services entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. He said, if you do what I'm telling you to do, I'll do what you can't do. I was scared. I didn't know how to do it, but I had a promise. And the promise works. But I had to learn how the promise works. And he said, Jason, this is what I need you to do. This is me and God talking. He said, repent. I got on my knees because I was working from home. On my knees in my living room. I remember it just like this. And I said, God, I repent for dragging my feet. I repent for being in the financial situation we're in. But I said, if we are to do this, I'm talking to God, I need this amount of money in the bank. No, I'm telling him this. I need you to do this on my job. I need you to do this right there. And everything I asked for, God did it, and I was still scared. So I start scrambling, and I said, all right. And I repented to Barbara. I said, Barbara, you've been on me. School's about to get, it's July. She said, Isaiah starts school in August. We need to be in Murfreesboro when he starts school so he can go to this school. We moved all of our stuff in the garage, started moving, got in touch with a realtor, moved in with my parents as a grown man. Somebody said, Found a realtor and said, I need to list this house. Can I tell you something? The sign never made it to the front yard. I was too scared to sell it, so I said, rent it. Rent it in less than a day. And one day, the sign never made it to the yard. But God was smart. He said, I'm going to let the market get a little better and let you build some equity in it. Gave us a great tenant for 2 years. The sign didn't make it to the yard, y'all. God said, this is how I'm going to work it out. Then he said, work what worked. We living with my parents. The last day of that job before I started the new one was a Friday. That Sunday, I remember I said, we were looking for houses. We could not find one. We could not find one. I said, God, what is going on? I love living with my mom and daddy, but we need a place of our own. You all right in here? That Monday, started the new job. We were walking that morning. I kid you not. We were walking down the road, and one of the nosiest neighbors in our neighborhood saw us. She said, I know you're living with your parents. How you know that? We ain't tell you. She said, I don't know if you know this or not, but that house right across the street from them is about to come up for rent. Friday, last day on the job. Monday, first day on a new job. Monday, house opens up. Sign never hits the yard. We sign the lease and move in. I don't know how God works. I just know that it works. And if you work it how he works, it will work for you, and there will be no stress. There will be no strain. You just trust his word, remind him of his promise, and God will work everything out for you on your behalf. The blessing was right up under our nose and had no idea. Can I tell somebody? I feel that in my spirit. We drove by that house for weeks, months, and had no idea it's going to come available. You have no idea. Your blessing, you could be looking at it every day. You single, and you could be looking at your, you have no idea. God working in their heart, and they transform. Like, where you come from? Been here all the time. Make a decision. What doesn't work, ask the question. What doesn't work, what does work? Decision. Learn how to work what works, work what works, and watch what shows up in your life. Stand to your feet. I want to pray. John, can you cut the arrow? Cut the arrow. Somebody say yes. Y'all fanning. If you're at a stage in your life where you feel like I'm about to bloom, there's something blooming, but I need to get it for something to click. I don't care how messed up things are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. But if you're saying, I am that late bloomer, and there's some things, business-wise, financial, relational, whatever, I need to see bloom in my life, and I'm ready for that to happen. Just slip your hand up wherever you are all over the building. Something's about to happen. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith, and I'm going to connect with your faith, because we're going to mark this day. If you got your hands lifted, I just want you to flood this altar. Just come quick as you are. Just wherever you are. Just come from wherever you are. You lifted your hand. Just flood this altar. Father, I feel this is strong. I need you to do it again for me. Father, I'm standing in a room of a harvest field. I don't care if it's love, relationships, if it's financial. I don't care if it's your salvation. I don't care how late at life it is. Sometimes the promises of God will make you laugh and self-doubt, like, for real? I'm not talking about a modified version of what God really spoke because you ain't got much time left. I'm talking about the full-blown version of what God wants to do. And God is going to redeem time for you. God's going to redeem time. He's going to help you with your credit. He's going to help you with your debt. He's going to help you with your heart. Your heart's going to heal faster than you have imagined. You're going to know how to trust. He's going to put you in favor in the right places. There are things you're going to learn in no time that it took you years and months to learn in times past. Your confidence is about to rise. I'm speaking to your spirit right now. Something's about to bloom in your life. Father, I declare this. We are late bloomers, but something is about to happen. Something's shifting inside of us. Something is changing. Something is moving. And Father, we thank you. I want you to sense that right now. In the name of Jesus, do it, God. We declare it to be so in your life. I declare it to be so. Bloom. Bloom. I don't care what you tried up to this point. You're going to bloom in the name of Jesus. Bloom, God. Your promise will come to pass. Remind God of his promise. Speak that word over your life. And Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, I am speaking your word because it works over every person in this place. Bring it to pass, God. Do it, God. Do it, God. Do it, God. Come on, talk to him. Do it, God. Do it, God. In the name of, do it, God. Do it. Redeem time. Somebody say, God, I got to go back to school, but I'm working. I got a full-time job. I got response. Do it, God. Create something. Do something for my. There are things that have been promised for your family for generations. He's going to redeem through you. There are stuff that has been layaway. There's stuff that has been held back for generations to your family. Some people died never seeing that promise, but God's going to redeem it through you. I don't know who I'm talking to here, but I declare in the name of Jesus, done. Done. All the regret be gone now. And then everything that causes you to doubt yourself that it's not going to happen, I declare it to be gone now. And you move forward in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, open your mouth and shout right now with victory. Come on, shout with victory. Declare it to be so in your life in the name of Jesus. Come on, help me worship God all over the building.